is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
So joining us on the line, my good friend Alan Gray. He is the public sector outside sales person for Sesco Lighting. And Alan, you were telling me that it seems to be that your title seems to change or get longer every year, but regardless, good friend of the station, a guy you and I have done radio a handful of times. Good to have you on.
Thanks, Dave. It's good to be on. It looks like I've graduated from We Built This City to The Ring of Fire from Johnny Cash.
My
opening song changed, man.
That's a great song still, but I think it's my fault. I forgot to let Reese know that we normally bring you on with We Built the City. You were a city planner before joining Sesco.
Well, I'm still a city planner now. In fact, I'm the vice president of our chapter for the American Planner Association for the Emerald Coast. So I serve on that still. I still am a city planner. I just use my skill set to apply the urban built environment to the schemes of lighting and how we make our city a better place. So it's still the same kind of world. I'm just doing it from the different side. No longer working for government. I work for the private sector. But all my clients are government for the most part.
And that's actually why we're having you on, is because the American Heart Association, or American Medical Association, I should say, they adopt guidance to reduce harm from high-intensity street lights. So I know that's something you know a lot about. I wanted to dive into this. Tell me a little bit about this guidance that the American Medical Association came out with recently.
Sure. So right now, much of our listeners are in their vehicles. They're heading home. And they're driving through streets that are illuminated with street lights, those above Cobra head lights that are going over the roadway, or sometimes they're the ornamental lights that sit atop a pole that light the path on the way home. And that's the exact subject of this American Medical Association adoption of a new scientifically researched, peer-reviewed journal article, that basically states the type of light that we program for our urban spaces and suburban spaces and even highways could be very detrimental to our health. And their basic assertion is that the amount of blue that's in the light that's being replaced commonly for the last 5 to 7 years in LED technology is very harmful. So, Davis, you and I can remember going down the streets and the cars had sort of yellowish colored lights. This was maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. Now you go down the street and a car will come up on you with these really bright, intense lights. That hyper blue color is what causes all the glare. If they were in a lower color temperature of Kelvin, we call it Kelvin temperature of 3000, we wouldn't have that glare effect that would be so troublesome for the eye. But the human eye, it does not deal with that blue light very well. In fact, kids have to wear special glasses so they can have more screen time, and the phones and the iPads don't damage their eyes with blue light. Basically, what I'm saying to you is the light that we have out there could be very harmful to you. So the old days, if you're driving around in your street and you see like sort of this salmon-colored, amber-colored light that's up on the street pole, that usually was what's called high-pressure sodium light, and that's a conventional light source. We replace it with LED light sources, and typically we've been doing it, as far as I can see, all over the panhandle, with stuff that's 4,000 Kelvin, 5,000 Kelvin and up, so it's very blue, and that's causing a high glare situation for all the people driving on that street, basically making the street not as safe. So here's where your urban planner mind comes in. How do we fix that? Well, we go back and refer to the American Medical Association's report on the Council of Science and Public Health, and they say, basically, take all your LEDs and drop them below 3,000 Kelvin, and you've solved the problem. So that's basically what I'm here to sort of talk to you guys about, is how to solve it. Not that we got a problem. That's great, but bringing a solution forward is what I'm here to talk to you about. So where did I drop you off in the question zone? Did you have any questions so far?
Well, yeah, I guess my next question was, how do we solve it? And you mentioned that throughout the panhandle, they have these really bright lights. They exhibit a lot of blue light. And yeah, the blue light shielding glasses that look like normal eyeglasses are becoming very popular, especially for those students, especially who have to stay home. They're learning virtually, mm-hmm. So they are doing a lot on the screens. Their screen time has gone up significantly compared to years past. So I guess I want to know, does Pensacola and the surrounding area, Santa Rosa County, Escambia County, do they have a lighting problem? And if they do, what are you proposing?
Well, I mean, this problem exists all over the United States. If you take a flight and you look down in the evening and you look down at the city streets, you'll see some, different color lights. Like over my friends in Jackson and Fort Lauderdale, Anthony and Bobby, who are hopefully listening online right now, These are guys that work with me at Sesco. They have the same problem we have, which is old streetlight technology is inefficient, but at least it's safe for your eyes. New streetlight technology is efficient, but it's very bad for your eyes. So what has to happen is we have to adopt a new culture of we're going to put healthy light out there. We're going to do it project by project. And understand, too, that the new stuff that's out there that's very efficient, it's not very expensive now, it lasts 5 times as long as the old conventional lighting system. So when we make a decision to put that in and say, oh, no, it's okay, we'll fix it when we replace it, that's a dozen years from now, Davis. So we have to be careful and mindful as municipalities and counties, what we actually program in our built environment has to be the healthy stuff that's available right now. And again, it used to be you couldn't get 3,000 Kelvin LED. Now you can. And it used to be that it used to cost a bunch more. Now it doesn't. So it's available, and we just have to adapt to a new way of doing things, which is bringing your light levels down to below 3,000. And if you can't do that, 4,000 is not as bad. It's about 21% more blue, but it's what's out there some places. And I'm okay with 4,000 Kelvin light in a high commercial area, but in your neighborhoods, you do not go above 3K. You just don't do it. It's very harsh. It's glary. It causes glare issues. People can, not see a child running because the lights are so glary. So it's something that we have to work on for the safety of our community here, really. And that's my push, is to help make our community safer.
Well, Alan, this is an issue that I never even thought about, something that you brought to my attention yesterday when you had reached out to me. I appreciate the time. We mm-hmm. thank you so much for coming on, and hope to have you on again soon. Let's see if we can get any updates on what we are doing, taking on the street lighting issue here in our area and really throughout the country. Alan, as always, I appreciate the time. Looking forward to hearing from you again soon.
Yeah, man, great to hear in the afternoons, Davis. We'll talk soon, brother.